bring you a text which is mentioned only 9 times in the whole of Scripture. Judges chapter 6 and verse 34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. The Spirit of the Lord. But the Spirit of the Lord. Mentioned only 9 times. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Now let me just put you to right on the background of this, because this is the most marvellous story, you know. We read in verse 1 of chapter 6, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midians. And this, of course, shows that time and time again, Israel did wrong in the sight of the Lord. And then in verse 11 we see a man called Gideon was threshing wheat at the winepress. He was threshing wheat at the winepress because the Midianites, the enemy, had come in like a flood. And they'd stolen all the corn of the land. And there was a famine. And so in threshing the wheat at the winepress, this was one way of hiding the corn. And he's visited by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we call a theophany. That is the appearance of the Lord in this world before his incarnation. There are a number of occasions when he came on this earth. And here he appeared to Gideon. And Gideon questions in verse 13 of chapter 6, if the Lord be with us, then why has all this befallen us? He's questioning, why is it that if God is with us, why is this happening to us? Why are all the Midianites coming against us? And when all the miracles which were done for our fathers, the blessings that they received, but here is a time when these seem to be against us. And then in verse 14, as we go through, Gideon is sent to deliver Israel. And you remember what Gideon said? Let me just remind you. Gideon said this, I am of the least. I am of the least. I come from a poor family. In other words, he was saying, I'm not man for this job. I can't do this job. I cannot deliver Israel. It's practically impossible for me. I am so weak and so helpless. We get, of course, Jeremiah saying this in the book of Jeremiah. And in chapter 1 and verse 6, when the Lord came to Jeremiah, he said similar things. Let me just repeat it. Jeremiah 1 verse 6. This is Jeremiah speaking. And then said, I, our Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. We get it in Isaiah 6 and verse 5, where Isaiah stands before the Lord, high and lifted up, and he says, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. Even the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 16 says, who is sufficient for these things? You see? And so the Lord is coming to Gideon, and he's giving him a tremendous task. And Gideon is saying, I am of a low estate. I am not good enough for this. But verse 16 in Judges 6 puts Gideon right. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with thee. Isn't that lovely? That in our weakest moments, in the times when we feel we are not good enough to do the task which God has given us to do, he comes to us and he says, I will be with thee. You know, it's a marvellous thing, isn't it? When we hear that given to us. Have you been to that position where perhaps in the Sunday school or young people's work or even in the church and you think, I can't go on doing this? I remember there was a stage in my life where I felt that I was not good enough to preach. I just couldn't go on. Things were not going right. I saw no conversions, nothing. And I did one last sermon and I said, well, that's it. I've finished now. And I closed the Bible. And as soon as I closed my Bible, the telephone rang. And someone wanted another date for me to go and preach. So the Lord is with us. And we must never forget that he will stand by us. And then get in verse 25 of Judges 6. And I promise we will get to our text in a moment. He sends out Gideon to tear down these altars of Baal. Now that's a tremendous thing. And he had a tremendous task there to do. And then in verse 33, the armies of the Midianites and the Amalekites were arrayed against Israel. And it was a very, very frightening situation, and they were surrounded by the enemy. Now we must never forget this in this story. This is not just one of those stories that is there out of interest. There's a tremendous lesson to learn here, that as they were surrounded by the enemies of the Amalekites and the Midianites, this is the position in which Gideon is. He's torn down the altars of Baal. He's had those inside against him because they were for Baal in that day, that wicked day. And now he has the outside enemy against him. And if we think we've got enemies today, dear friends, just think how Gideon felt. Enemies within, enemies outside. And he was in no position to fight. He felt his weakness, he felt his frailty. Now we've got to my text, verse 34. But the Spirit of the Lord was upon Gideon. And if there's anything that makes this story come alive, it is this text. Without this story would be nothing. But the Spirit of the Lord was upon Gideon. Now, the Spirit of the Lord is a tremendous task, and I don't intend to cover it all this morning. Your pianist told me, I know what your subject is, and of course he's right, because he looked at the hymns. But we read about the Spirit of God throughout the whole of Scripture. We first read in Genesis 1 verse 2, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters, you see, right at the beginning. And we can trace it all the way through the Scriptures to Revelation 22 verse 17, where we read the Spirit and the Bride say come. We read of it throughout the Scriptures, but we must always refer to the Holy Spirit as a person. And if you listen to my last prayer, my benediction, you will find that I call him the Holy Spirit. He is a person, the same as Jesus was the Son of God. God was the Father. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is a person. Some hymnists call him the Paraclete, the Holy One that comes alongside. And I like that expression, the Holy Paraclete, that one who comes alongside. And we need someone this day to come alongside, don't we, dear friends? Oh, I do daily. That there might be someone greater than I, greater than the enemy. And this is what Gideon had. Someone greater than the enemy, without and within. He had the Spirit of the Lord upon him. Now, of course, we cannot see the Spirit of God. And this is why I read the account in St. John's Gospel, chapter 3, and particularly in verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound of, but thou cannot tell where it comes from, whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. We hear it, we see it in our lives, we see the work of the Holy Ghost in our lives, him the Holy Spirit, yet we cannot see him with our naked eye. We feel him, we know he's there. And this was Gideon, he knew that. He felt the Holy Spirit. It filled Gideon. I'll remind you of our text in Judges 6 and verse 34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. That word came there means it filled, it clothed him, if you like. It clothed him. Can you remember when Elijah went up into the clouds? The chariot of fire came for him. And what did Elisha ask for? He asked for a cloak might fall upon him. He wanted part of that Holy Spirit upon him. And this is it, dear friends. This is what Gideon had. The Holy Spirit came down upon him and clothed him. And first of all, we can see this with Gideon. It gave him great encouragement. He had a tremendous task, as I've intimated already. He had a tremendous job to do. He felt his sense of unworthiness. He felt his weakness in life. And I aligned myself with this. I aligned myself with Gideon, as I thought of the mammoth task which I had in the work of the gospel. You see, he says that he is weak, he is frail. He said, I am the least of my father's house. My family is poor. He came from the tribe of Manasseh. He came from a tribe which was a poor tribe, which had felt persecution. But now he is encouraged. Now he is clothed with the Holy Spirit. He has zeal. He has strength to go forward. He couldn't come up to that challenge on his own. There was a tremendous amount arrayed amongst him, around him. Their numbers were so undernumbered that he could not have done anything against this enemy. He could not any way come up to the challenge. He could not engage the enemy. He could not even think. Yet now the Holy Spirit has come upon Gideon. He was at best a man, but now he knew what it was to have the Spirit of God upon him. But I want you to notice, he could encourage others. He could encourage others to come with him. Notice in verse 34 that as soon as the Holy Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he blew a trumpet. You see? Blew a trumpet. You say, well, that's a strange thing to do. Ah, but my dear friends, you see, it was a call to battle. It was a call to battle. The trumpet was a well-known instrument. Remember, as they went round the walls of Jericho, they blew the trumpets and the walls fell down. And here we see, as soon as he is covered with the Holy Spirit, he blew the trumpet to encourage others, to call others into the work, to call others to that battle. And here he is. And we read also in that same verse that Abiezer, he was of the same family as the Manasseh, of the tribes of Manasseh, he too joined in. And they looked up to Gideon, for Gideon now was encouraged. And when I was here last, I remember what I preached on. I preached on 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of standing him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man of his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself, see, in the Lord. And this is what Gideon did. As soon as he felt the covering and the coming of the Holy Ghost was upon him, that equipped him from this battle, he knew he had been touched by something that was out of this world. It was God sent. And the whole tribe of Manasseh came towards him, gathered unto him, and that sent out a message to the enemy that here was strength, not in their own strength, but in God. So it gave him encouragement. But something else that this Holy Spirit did, it was a teacher to him. We get this in St. John's Gospel 14 and verse 26. Verse 25. These things, says Jesus, have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But here it is, friends, look. Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Ghost is a teacher. The Holy Spirit is a teacher that comes to every believer. And when we come to know him as our Saviour and as our Lord, he comes and he speaks to us, and he teaches us from the Word of God. He teaches us to trust in him and to put our faith in the beloved Lord Jesus Christ himself. This is the whole work of the Holy Spirit. And he interprets to us and explains to us and shows us the way in which we should go. You see, without this, Gideon had no idea which way to turn. He had no idea, no knowledge of what he should do in the Lord's service. But God came. And once he felt the coming of the Holy Ghost upon him, it interpreted him. He knew, he realized, this was the way to go. This is what he should do. And it brought things all to his remembrance. Verse 36 of Judges chapter 6. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, thou hast said. And then we have this incident where he puts out the fleece. And he asked God, he asked for a demonstration of God's power. And he asks for a demonstration of faith. And he, in a small way, he challenges God. Now, I don't think perhaps that's the right term to use, because we should never challenge God, but he wanted his faith strengthened. He put God to the test, if you like. And it was the Holy Spirit that taught him, you see. It was that Holy Spirit that came upon him that taught him that here was faith, that he was only to trust in God, that by faith he would go forward, that by faith he would win the battles, that by faith he would bring Israel through this difficult period. And he desires this confirmation of faith. And I don't think there's any wrong with us as believers when we desire a confirmation of faith. I wonder, perhaps you've done that in your lives. And perhaps you'll say, well, Lord, if you really mean me to do this, then show me. If you really mean me to go in this way, show me. You know, I was in the police service for a number of years, more than I like to take out of my life, really. But I came to that point where I had to say, well, Lord, I think my work here is finished. Show me the way. Show me the way. And it is that Holy Spirit that teaches us the way when we're His. It's that Holy Spirit that comes upon us and He, by faith, strengthens our faith and shows us each step of the way. But also, of course, it encourages others too in the work. It encourages others and it shows them the way in which God has asked us to go. And so, having proved, Gideon proved the Spirit of God, his faith was strengthened. And if we had time to read through and go on into chapter 7, you would see how God worked in his life. How God took hold of Gideon. And how he showed him the way. Now I just want to say something about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, it's fake today. There are those that would fake the working of the Holy Spirit, and we must be very careful. There are those who say that they can heal by touching us with their hands, and we have to be very careful of that. There are those of us who tell us that they can speak in different tongues to ours. And my mind always goes back to Babel, because we're not told in Scripture that that is given to us to do today. The apostles of old had a very special endowment of the Holy Ghost for a very special time. But I don't believe that's here today. And so we must be very careful on these things. And let's be honest, that those who tell us that they can heal one another, most of them are wearing glasses. And my dear friends, if they can heal, then why are they wearing glasses? I mean, it's that silly, isn't it, really? So we must be very careful of the faking of this Holy Spirit and this Holy Ghost. We all have the working of the Holy Spirit within us when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. And Gideon's army is depleted. And God says, you have too many men. I shall take some from you. And then he takes more from him. And you imagine how Gideon's faith is tried here. Ah, but he's endowed with the Holy Spirit. And he puts his trust in God. And I have to tell you this, if you could read through Judges 7, which I trust you might as you go home, get home. With as few men as possible, Gideon won the battle. And he fought the Amalekites and the Midianites that were surrounding his city. Now, why did God reduce the number? Well, so that was his glory and not Gideon's. And my dear friends, if we have our battles, we sung, didn't we? Every virtue we possess, and every battle won, and every thought of holiness is his alone. My dear friends, if we win any battles at all in this life, which we can, through him, the Holy Spirit, it's all credit to God. Give him the glory. And take none yourself. It is God who wins the battles. And we're facing a tremendous battle today. I know, I work amongst people, as you do, most of you, I'm quite sure. They are the enemy. Can I just tell you that I had a man well up in my company come to me the other day and he said, I wish I had your faith. How can I have your faith? Oh, what an opening, my dear friends. What an opening. I only had a few moments. I can't give you faith. God can give you faith. It's a gift of God. Oh, we're facing an enemy today that is against us. But if we win the battle, it is all of God. It is all for his glory. And it taught Gideon that though he was covered by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit came upon him, every battle was won, was his, God's, alone. But not only is the Holy Spirit an encourager and a teacher, but we see it is a comforter. It is a comforter. John 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. But if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him, that is the comforter, the Holy Spirit, unto you. Just think of it. If Jesus Christ had not gone and died upon Calvary, if he had not left this world and ascended again, we should know nothing of the Holy Ghost amongst us. We should know nothing of the Holy Spirit. But it's because he went that he sent the Comforter with us. And isn't he a comfort? Oh, he's a comfort to me, dear friends. He's a comfort. Do you know, I wouldn't want to work at all in this world if I didn't have the Holy Spirit to comfort me. I wouldn't step outside the door to go down the shop if I didn't have the Holy Spirit in my heart and life to comfort me and to teach me what I should do. Now, we've lost one of the lovely pastors in Suffolk. He died recently. Not that old, about 60 or so. His funeral is on Wednesday. And you imagine the family, how they're so distraught. You imagine the family, how they're torn apart. Ah, but my dear friends, they have the Holy Spirit to comfort them. And it is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is the comfort of the Holy Spirit that comes to us in such times as that. That will lead us to all truth. You see, it led Gideon to all truth. And here was a demonstration to his disciples, here in this St. John's Gospel. And what a demonstration it was too. 14, John 14 and verse 16, we get this. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. And Mark, see how it's in the capital C. See how the comforter in capital C, that he may abide with you forever. It's not just for this time alone, but we have the comforter with us forever. Might well Gideon have been encouraged. Might well he have been taught. Might well he have found the comfort here of that one, the Holy Spirit, as he came to him. He had that great comfort to know that he was in God's will as he went forth into this great battle. John 14, 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you fatherless. I will not leave you as orphans, you see. And Gideon took great comfort in him, in the faith which he had. Oh, but those words that I come back to in Judges 6 and verse 12, what a comfort they were to him. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee. The Lord is with thee. The Lord is with thee. You say, but was Gideon really a man of faith? Will you turn with me to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews? And I'm thinking particularly of chapter 11, that great chapter on faith. And in Hebrews 11 and in verse 32, we see these words. Hebrews 11:32. And what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, and also of Samuel, and of the prophets. My dear friends, if Gideon has been put in the scripture in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, then surely he was a man of faith. He was a man of faith. And I thought, as I read this and I saw this verse, oh, that my name would have been in Hebrews 11, verse 32. What shall I more say? For time would fail me, says God, to tell of Gideon. To tell of Gideon. Oh, he was a man who learnt of the Holy Spirit. Faith. He was a man who learnt of the Holy Spirit. Comfort. He was a man who learnt of the Holy Spirit. Encouragement in his battles, which he did. He'd torn down the altar of Baal. He built one for the Lord instead. He was obedient in faith. He felt weak. His army was weak. And yet this faith strengthened him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. If you were to turn to Judges in chapter 14, you'll find there another person. Judges 14 and verse 6. This is Samson. This is the man, Samson. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he thought he was fighting a lion. Perhaps we should read from verse 5. And then went Samson down, his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. That's what the Spirit of the Lord can do, friends. That's what faith can do. That when by the mighty power we have the Spirit of God upon us, he can. We can do all things. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, says Paul in Corinthians, there is liberty. There is liberty. That means we are free. Not free to do what we want, but we have a freedom in the Spirit of the Lord and our faith. And he speaks in 1 Corinthians 6:11, those that were washed and justified and sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God, who washed us, he says, through the precious blood of Christ, who sanctified us and separated us from this world, has justified us by his righteousness in Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is all due to the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So when we read of Gideon, when we read of that great battle he had to fight, and we might put ourselves in his position, we might think to ourselves, well, what would I have done? We might feel this morning a sense of unworthiness, and I always feel that as we meet together with one another, particularly around the Lord's table, I feel such a sense of unworthiness. With the task ahead, with the battle that stares us in the eyes, then think of Gideon. Think of that phrase which appears but 9 times in Scripture, but the Spirit of the Lord, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon in this case. And I found great strength in this. I found that I needed something from Scripture. I felt that there was something perhaps that I hadn't realised, that I'm not going alone in this world, that I'm not going out to fight these battles, I'm not in charge of a Sunday school, I'm not in charge of young people's work, I'm not in charge of a whole church of God here below. Without that mighty, powerful working of the Holy Spirit that covered Gideon. And it did cover him. It infilled him. My dear friends, when we know that, we shall be fit for the task which we have ahead. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon.